It is time. Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento on March 29th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now, looking for caller number 4 to score that pair of tickets to pull up for Hasan's comedy homecoming. For more information, visit sactownsports.com. Looking for caller number 4. Caller number 4, 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Your chance to see Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center on March 29th. Caller number 4. And Nate the Great will take care of you as we continue to just have some pretty tough discussions as far as the Kings and really expectations, and also breaking down NFL free agency. If you have not gotten caught up with NFL free agency, Kirk Cousins is now an Atlanta Falcon. This happened last night, but Russell Wilson is now a Steeler. What else were the big ones, Chris?
We had Christian Wilkins sign
with the Raiders.
Defensive tackle sign with the Raiders. You had Josh Jacobs move over to the Packers.
Saquon Barkley to the Eagles.
You had DeAndre Swift this morning go over to the Chicago Bears. And I think that's a lot of the major moves, but I don't have a list in front of me. It's been a lot of movement, man. Like, and then I'm seeing here Xavier McKinney signs a 4-year deal with the Packers. He was a really big target.
Oh, Tony Pollard to the Titans.
A really big move. And, it seems like there's just it's like you said earlier, it's been a little quiet here the past 20 or so minutes. But pretty much all day, I mean, there's been just news after news after news. And I have definitely been reminded today just how many people are in the NFL in general, because there's so many guys who I'm seeing getting big dollar figures, and I'm like, I don't know if I've even heard that name before.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see this much movement in a sport that just has so many pieces.
Right. And, you know, a lot of the reason that I think you see some of this movement is because things are changing. I'm seeing, look, Niners fans are always going to find a way to take a W anywhere they can take it. And they're a little bit worried now from what I'm seeing that no one has made a move yet as far as the Niners are concerned. They've lost some pieces, but they have not gained yet. But now people are saying that running backs can thank Christian McCaffrey and the Niners for the change in how they're getting paid again. Changing the market back,
yeah,
I guess.
I'm trying to figure out if, like, because even, like, Saquon's deal, I don't feel like is crazy. Like, it's not making me say, oh, my gosh, like, running backs back to getting paid. Let me see what the details on Saquon's numbers were. 3 years, 37, $26 million guaranteed. So, yeah, I mean, like, he's hovering around $12 million a year. Like, I think that's good, but at the same time, like, we're seeing receivers now getting paid, you know, high 20s. I think even Justin Jefferson starting to negotiate near the 30s and might even get into the 40s. Like, it's going to get insane.
I mean, they're getting deals, right?
Which I guess to your point,
they're getting something. So Tony Pollard, 3 for 24, so he's getting $8 million a year.
Yeah, like, it's good. I guess to your what you just laid out there is really the thing, because at this point last season, all these guys were just getting franchised. They weren't getting any sort of long-term, and especially at the running back position, you can maybe even argue it's not even about the money. It's about the years, because that position is just so fragile, really. I mean, the guys, you know, you'll go from 1 year to the next, and they'll look like a completely different player. And so I think that it's important that these guys are at the very least locking down – a good amount of years. Like, yeah, you see Tony Pollard getting a 3-year deal. It feels like if this were last year's market, they probably would have just franchise tagged him and seen what kind of season he was going to have. Pretty much what happened with Josh Jacobs. So I think it's, like you said, I think it's a positive that they're at the very least getting these contracts signed and you know, not dragging it out at all. I think it is a step forward for the running back position, but, you know, to tie it back to the McCaffrey thing, none of these guys are Christian McCaffrey. Like, none of these guys are giving nearly the amount of value that Christian McCaffrey gives.
Right. I mean, the closest would be Saquon, and we'll see on the Eagles now. That's a big one. Here you go, Chris. This is from Adam Schefter. This was 4 minutes ago. More Packers moves.
Oh, no.
Free agent safety Xavier McKinney is signing a 4-year, $68 million deal with the Packers.
Yeah, that's it's not great. The Packers, honestly, it's funny because they, for a really long time, were very much into their homegrown talent. Like, I remember maybe like 10 years ago, the Packers would pride themselves on, hey, we only have 3 guys that were brought into this organization that we didn't handpick via draft or undrafted free agency. And now you see them dipping their toes in the free agency market a lot more than they have in the past. And I mean, they're scary. Like, we saw last year in the playoffs, they put up a real fight against the Niners. You could maybe definitely argue that they had a real legitimate shot to win that game. And you add a guy like Josh Jacobs, you add some defensive help, and I've seen the Packers have, you know, let go of some linemen here. John Runyon and David Bakhtiari, 2 longtime Packers, are no longer going to be with them. But it feels to me like the Packers are a really good young team that I don't think is flying under the radar anymore, but they make another – I mean, I think Xavier McKinney is a huge, huge addition, but they make another move here, and we could be talking about the Packers maybe as one of the best teams in the NFC, which I guess looking at last year isn't that big of a statement, but still they might have solidified their standing in that top 3 of the NFC.
Yeah, and you know, part of that is because we don't know what your Vikings are going to do here with the quarterback position.
That's right.
With Kirk Cousins head to Hotlanta and Russell Wilson now in Steeler country with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you had to pick between one of those guys, is it obvious that Kirk Cousins will be more successful than Russell Wilson?
Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty tough to see Kirk not. I mean, it depends how much you believe is circumstance versus performance last year with Russ. Like, it was, like, the Steelers, they have, I mean, they have Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. They're good backs, not great. They've got, their receivers are good or great, not excellent. I feel like Kirk's just in a better situation to succeed. And, you know, Kirk's game was never based off of athleticism or pocket escapability anyway. So who knows how much really the Achilles is going to hamper him, maybe in the sense of, you know, driving off of his back foot and getting some of those deeper throws. But, you know, the Falcons are coming off of having Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke as their quarterback. So I feel like just in terms of the gap of improvement made, like, Kenny Two Gloves and Russ, if you want to say Russ is better, he's not much better, but Kirk Cousins, even coming off of an Achilles, is so much better than what the Falcons had before that I would have to imagine we're just going to look at this and say, yeah, I mean, Kirk definitely made that team better. The question is, should you have paid him top dollar quarterback money for a guy who's, you know, on the back nine here?
Do you think that football is, when you talk about just being able to compete and going to the playoffs, we were just talking about the Kings and how, hey, you might not win the whole thing, but at least you can have a chance to compete and have extra games. Do you feel like the NFL gets away with just being competitive but not championship level the most? Right? Like the Atlanta Falcons know that they're going to be better than they were. So they're just going to go with Kirk Cousins and bag him out because they feel, do they think that they can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins? I don't know. Maybe in their heart of hearts, but to take your term, if you gave them truth serum, do you think that you can win a Super Bowl or do you think you're just going to be much more competitive?
More in the conversation.
Yes. And for in the NBA, I feel like
you don't really have time for that. Yeah.
But for some reason in football, I mean, the Steelers have literally, that's been Tomlin's career. I know he has a Super Bowl, but literally Tomlin's whole calling card is, I don't have losing seasons.
Yeah. Yep.
He's probably fired in the NBA for just not having losing
seasons.
For
never getting over the hump.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Replaced with Doc Rivers.
Replaced with Doc Rivers. 1,000% would have been replaced by Doc Rivers.
It feels, when you see stuff like this,
I mean,
and
it's
Russell
Mark
Wilson,
Jackson, right? Like, right. Mark Jackson was
and
good.
And he got out of there.
But he got fired and has not been seen since. And there's a couple other reasons why
couple
he hasn't been
reasons,
seen
yes.
since. But to your point, like, good is not good enough in the NBA. You have to always be striving for that championship, even though in both sports, in all sports, there's only one team that wins. But it does feel like, for whatever reason, in the NFL, there is a little bit more acceptance in just getting good, getting up to a level of, hey, we might not be the favorites, but at least there's a chance. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe in football.
One games. Is it because of the one
game
playoff thing?
The
one game
playoff. And like, there's a world where, hey, you know, if Kirk Cousins doesn't get hurt last year, maybe the Vikings would have been one of the favorites in the West, in the NFC. And you know, I think it's a sense of, you're giving yourself a chance. And, you know, in football, in the playoffs, injuries happen, things go your way. You could win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco as your quarterback. In the NBA, you're not going to win a championship with, I'm trying my hardest not to be disrespectful here. Let me think of a
Joe Flacco.
The Joe Flacco equivalent. There you go.
Or Nick Foles, right?
Or Nick Foles. That's not happening in the NBA.
I don't think so.
It's just not happening. So, yeah, my guess would be that in the NBA, if you're not trying to be great or like one of the best three teams, what are you doing? You're in purgatory. You might, if you're not building towards a champion directly in the next 3 years, then you're kind of building. You're doing what would have been the grit and grind Grizzlies, where it's fun, but at the end of the day, you're just kind of spinning your wheels.
Yeah, and as far as Kirk Cousins is concerned, maybe I will stand corrected, but I think that they'll mess around and they'll get in the playoffs, and in that division, that's all you kind of feel like you need. Yep. But you know, as far when you go to the Kings now, the Kings are in year two and people are starting to get a little bit
squirrely
as far as where they're headed, and moves have to be made.
That is
the bottom line. When we return, continuing the conversation, also, a wide receiver, a star wide receiver, requests a trade. Hasn't happened yet, but what is going on? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
16 minutes ago, the Texans are expected to sign defensive tackle Denico Autry to a 2-year, $10 million deal. A veteran addition to the Houston D-line.
Do you guys think Arik Armstead is a prime suspect for D'Amico Ryans? Right, like that's number one in my. I mean, they just signed. I'm sorry, I missed that. Who did they just sign?
Denico Autry.
Yeah, Denico Autry. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, right, Arik Armstead. That's got to be number one on the list, right?
I would think it's just. I mean, I wonder how much money Eric's going to ask for.
They got money, right?
Is he a situation where he's going to be paid by the Niners as well? Like, is it a mini Russell Wilson situation? Do we know? No.
I don't know off the top of my head. There most likely is a dead cap space. Let me check that out real quick.
Yeah, because I mean that would definitely affect his options. I mean, if he's already getting paid by the Niners for leaving, I mean he then doesn't really have to worry about, you know, if financially it makes sense for him. But it definitely makes sense for one of these. Maybe even Miami. You know, like I know obviously, you know, D'Amico was on the defensive side of the ball, but with Miami losing Christian Wilkins, they could definitely use a D lineman for sure.
Yeah, we have some really news. We'll try to get to the sound as well. This is from Brendan Nunez right after practice. talking to Mike Brown, and this is Brandon Nunes. Mike Brown outlined the specifics of the spray three that Sacramento's highly values and what they need to do when shots aren't going down. Here's the quote. You've got to defend and you've got to win the possession game because shots aren't going to always go in.
And again, you can chalk that down as a thing that Mike Brown said before.
Make a bingo card.
Say it again.
Yeah.
He has said countless times, like, it's about process and it shouldn't matter if you're making threes or not. You should just play basketball the right way. You need to put your head down. And I know it's hard to not ride the emotions, especially at home of you know, everything that goes into a game. But you got to put your head down and you got to just believe the process. And you can't start to let the defensive end slack just because you're making shots. And you definitely can't let the defensive end slack when you're missing shots. And it feels like this Kings team just forgets about one side of the ball much too often, and they fully believe that the players do, at least it seems like. They believe in their offensive ability so much that they just don't really give attention to the defensive end. And I think it's driving Mike Brown crazy, and I think that it's a big reason why this team has been so inconsistent this year.
Yeah.
Gotta play defense.
It's the same thing over and over and over again. And you know, because you play a sport in high school or even before that.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is what that sounds like.
Yep.
Just saying the same things to the team.
Yeah.
And not
like they are kids.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
Honestly.
It's like, are you guys not listening? Like,
right.
We're sitting down. It's like a teacher almost too, where it's like, dude, like we are sitting in class here. I'm going over the lesson plan, and you guys aren't. We're taking the tests. And you guys are getting all the questions wrong. Like, what's going on here? Am I not teaching you guys right? Are you guys not listening?
Yeah.
Is there something, like, I mean, I've been in plenty of classrooms where teachers ask, am I doing something wrong? Like, is there something that I am not, that you guys aren't understanding? Am I not breaking it down correctly? Because clearly it's not seeping through. And we're now, I don't even know how many games we are into the season, 60 plus games into the season, and Mike Brown's still saying not just the things that he said at the beginning of this season, not just at the beginning of training camp. He's been talking about this since he entered the building last season, almost 2 years ago. And it just feels like it has not gotten better. And that's going to point me to, I mean, you got to look around and say, all right, well, what are the reasons why? I do think a big reason is the personnel. I do think a big reason is the guys who are on that floor. You say it with Kevin Huerter all the time, but I think it's a microcosm for the team as a whole. I don't care what Kevin Huerter does on defense, because Kevin Huerter, he's going to be on the floor if he makes shots. And
right.
I think the entire team, right or wrong, has that mindset. And I would say it's wrong. I think it's more for specific players. But, yeah, it feels like as a team they've taken on the identity of, defense is cool. Like, that's when we're really, really good, but we can still be pretty good if we're just on offense. And I think we're learning that in a tough league in general, I won't even say tough Western Conference, you can't just win on offense every single night. Everybody's got something to show you. And yeah, you'll get a big game out of Fred VanVleet. You'll get Jalen. They're lucky that Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet didn't get 30. You're going to have to play defense if you want to be seriously taken in this league, and the Kings are not. And so they're a little bit unserious right now.
Where would you put De'Aaron Fox's defense? Obviously we swipe of the Fox,
sure.
You get steals,
yes.
And things like that. But besides that, the whole thing was this season, De'Aaron trying to take a step forward with
right.
his threes and his defense.
Yeah.
How would you assess De'Aaron defensively this season?
It's kind of, I'm going to echo what Kevin Huerter said a couple weeks ago. I think it was on the Andre Iguodala podcast, where when he's locked in, it's legit. Like, there's not a lot of guards who can lock up the way De'Aaron does, or at least give the front of the physicality that De'Aaron does at the point of attack. But like you're saying, I mean, it is really, I don't want to say it's all show and like it's all in the steals and all that stuff, but not very often are you just on a random possession in the second quarter saying, whoa, De'Aaron Fox just shut down that offensive possession.
Right.
He had that guard in hell. It's usually De'Aaron's getting mad, or the game is starting to get a little bit tighter and De'Aaron tightens up himself in a good way. Very rarely do you see just, and it's really a problem with this whole Kings team. Maybe you can say De'Aaron Fox, head of the snake, is somebody who needs to show the example, but this team does not play 48 minutes of defense. I don't even know if they play 12 minutes of consistent defense. And I think that's a thing with De'Aaron too, is De'Aaron doesn't have full defensive game performances. He might have a good quarter, might have a good stint. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that we remember so clearly in our head that James Harden moment, the mad Fox, like, we should see that all the time. That should just be De'Aaron in clutch situations in general, and he should always be hovering somewhere near that level of ball pressure all game long. And I understand, you know, the Kings rely on him a lot offensively too, but I would say with how this team is constructed, I can't say this is an equal opportunity offense and then at the same time say De'Aaron has this huge weight on him offensively. I think that the ball is spread out enough on the offensive end for De'Aaron to give just a little bit more on the defensive end. So I won't give him a bad grade. I'll definitely give him at the very least a B, maybe a B plus. But I think he's kind of a victim of his own success here, where you see the good moments or the best moments and you say, why can't we have more of that, or at least get closer to that being the consistent you? And we just really don't see it very often. And I wonder if he were to set the tone and say, you know what, I'm just going to let Sabonis take, we see him have crazy first quarters anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to really press until I'm checked in with the last stretch of time until half. I'm going to really only focus on defense, and I'm going to let Sabonis take care of the offense. I'd be curious to see what it does for everybody else. If they fall in line, or if they also, if they just say, hey, De'Aaron's got us on defense, we're going to, I'd just be curious to see what it looked like if De'Aaron truly set the tone from the start on defense.
You've definitely seen De'Aaron defer to Sabonis at times early in the game, but you have not seen the defensive side of it. He's just kind of chilling.
Yes. Yes, right? That's what it feels like. No,
so
for sure.
So if you're already doing that anyway offensively, why can't you just give it to us defensively at the very least?
Right.
Which is something that this team definitely needs, as we're just reading some of these quotes coming out of King's practice as far as questions for the team and their inability right now to defend and also shoot and how they are connected. Coming up next, we have a pretty funny story that came out, what, basically this weekend or late last week?
Yeah, it came out, I think it started to trickle, news started to trickle in around Friday, and then over the weekend it kind of took a life of its own.
Yes, there is somebody on the Kings that has a secret but not so secret admirer. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Well, well, well. I just received an email.
Oh, I'm so nervous. An email?
I just received an email.
Okay.
And I have to make a decision here.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I'm going to do it.
Is this about baby race? What is this?
Hold on. Hold on. I just received an email. Good morning.
This guy is the worst, dude.
Thank you for your interest in the Sacramento Kings baby races. If you didn't know, we also have these fun competitions at our Stockton Kings games.
Yes.
Thanks to our partners.
Half an hour away.
First Five California. We have upcoming races on March 17th, which is Dunkson's birthday.
March 17th?
Mm-hmm.
That's next week?
And March 23rd.
Wait.
Let's go Dunkson.
If you or someone you know, please reach out.
Wow. Hold on.
Wow.
Wait, we might.
Let's do it.
Is it time to run it back?
Do it.
maybe Baby Styles wasn't ready for the show yet.
That's right.
Maybe needs to get a little bit of developmental time.
It's like a G League.
We could have a whole record.
Yeah.
We could have a whole record if we continue to do every single one.
Yeah. This is fantastic.
And she's in playing shape right now.
She
is. You already got her up to speed. So, you know, having it be this weekend and then shortly after, like...
We're not done yet.
Look out.
We're
Look
not
out.
Done yet.
You should do it. You should really do it.
Wow.
It's a short drive, man. It's not even that bad to get all the way out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quick 30-minute drive, right? I mean.
Is it too quick of a turnaround?
Maybe the lights won't be as bright.
She's good. Dude.
Right, yeah. How's her psyche after that?
Juice her up.
That's what I'm saying.
Mentally and physically.
Ryan Williams, Art, saying slip some Red Bull in the baby bottle about an hour before the race.
Don't think that's legal.
She just, that's not good.
Definitely don't think. Ellen was saying he couldn't give his baby cookies this morning. I definitely don't
think. That's right.
She's bilingual by the end of the thing.
If I gave her some of that.
She's running.
If I gave her some crumble cookies, she'd cook.
How many, what's her teeth? How many teeth does she have?
She's got two on the bottom.
Okay, so you'd have to get one of the soft.
I have to do anything.
The soft chocolate chip.
You're gonna have to rip those out. It's affecting your time. It's weighing her down. You know?
Right. It's
shave her head.
It's not very aerodynamic. We need to get the swimmer's cap.
Yeah.
Get the swimmer's cap.
It's weight, though. You got to get it all off.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
weight true. Shave her arms. All
I will talk to wifey and see.
Yeah,
if
you
got to
get at least in one
horse.
Of those. Yeah.
I just want to see you go.
Right, exactly.
And then you're crawling once we get home just to annoy
that's
me.
That's the worst.
This is big. This is really
this
big news.
This is going to change everything.
Carmichael Dave is going to bring this up to you tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
He's laughing now.
This changes everything. All right.
So here's the thing, though, is that you're not the only one who got that email.
That's right.
I would assume that the entire...
What if the winner got it? But if the winner got it, you go out on top.
I would think so. I'd say, no. My trophy is here.
I won in Sacramento.
What do I need to prove?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. We'll see.
They should have this at the All-Star game every year.
They
and
really
Allen,
should.
Nate, all the winners should go.
Nate, you might be onto something. Like each team has like a tournament throughout the season to try and figure out the cities.
So then the winner,
every team
would now go to the Bay.
It's like MLB
or
where
LA.
Every team gets a representative.
Yeah.
Oh my, this is such
this
a good idea.
Huge.
Adam Silver, let's call him.
Yeah.
Get the black book.
It's not 3D courts, it's baby races.
It's baby races. That's really what All-Star Game is missing. Honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm not even joking. I would tune into baby races before I tune into the skills competition.
Have the baby race be after the game. No one's watching the game. Just have the lead in be the All-Star game to the baby race.
You got
to
hook them.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, TNT.
All right.
Listen.
And this is going to be probably the most bizarre transition.
Oh, by far.
That we've had on this show as we.
Not even a close second.
As we get into. I'm trying to figure out how to say this stuff. Essentially, a woman went viral in a picture of Steph Curry, who, by the way, it's funny that this situation commandeered Steph, who is doing golf swings, and that was in the first or second quarter.
Don't get me started.
And when I saw that, I said, oh my goodness, Chris is going to lose it. Then the whole thing went left when it appeared that there was someone on the court or close to the court, and her outfit caught the attention.
There you go.
First somebody that was sitting in front of her. Then the whole thing went viral when there was a picture taken of Steph, and it just happened to be in the background. Long story short. This woman ended up getting interviewed, right, and became a hit.
Sure did.
And it turns out, funny enough, she is a mother bleeping Kings fan.
That's right.
And she's from Sacramento, and she loves the Kings players. They're her homies. They're crazy, but they're mega fun. And she goes on to say that she has a major crush on Kevin Huerter. So,
quote, he's a cutie.
Quote, he's a cutie. So what do we have to do to make... I thought she was going to be at the game
I would have put money down.
On Sunday. That's I right. thought she was going to be there yesterday.
Let's get her on the show.
We got to get her on the show.
here's
wait,
there's
what?
A lot of jokes I want to make, but prices is all I will say.
She wanted to go to a game where it was going to be
she
did big
want
time.
To go, yeah, exactly.
She knew they were going to lose to the Rockets. Right. If she's a Kings
fan,
she
exactly.
she knows how it works.
I mean,
she's waiting for the Milwaukee game.
Yeah, so she's from Sacramento. And the question, is there anything bigger than
than what?
Hey,
yo!
No, you got the Bucks. Okay, listen, guys.
Oh, no, Sydney,
listen,
sweet.
You got the Bucks. You got the Lakers. You got the Bucks Tuesday, the Lakers Wednesday, and the Knicks
oof.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
She's got to go to one of those games.
We need her services.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
She's got to go to one of those.
This is tough. I got to just.
We got to get Kevin Huerter out of this slump. So however it happens, hey, man, I'll take it.
Bro, it might make it worse.
No.
You
don't think?
He's too tense.
He's putting up donuts, man.
It can't get worse.
This is difficult to talk about. I'm going to just shut off and not.
It's so tough.
There's so many jokes. I just can't help myself. I can't. So I'm tuning out.
You know, it's just crazy. It's just how life works. Because like you said, Alan, like this is the way that this thing spiraled is actually insane. Mm-hmm. Like it literally started from just a harmless image of Steph just being the great face of the league he is, being so joyful, cross-sport athlete, his oh, so funny. He's playing golf while on the basketball floor. Great. And then, of course, it ends up spiraling into, this the dude who was looking at her, like, he's going to have some questions back at home. He was sitting next to his kids. Can't imagine
he
that conversation
went
well.
He's a scarf
right,
guy.
Right, big scarf guy, for sure.
Well, mm-hmm. What's going under the radar, too, with players and blonde women this weekend was, did you guys see the pictures of LeBron on the sideline with the two girls all over him?
That was incredible.
How is he getting away with that?
Well, because that was Jeannie Buss.
Yeah, he was just telling her happy.
That was Jeannie Buss?
That was Jeannie Buss. Yes.
She looked young. She looks
fantastic.
He was just
has.
Saying
and then
happy
there was another,
International Women's Day.
All he said was happy International Women's Day.
Interesting.
And they were like, oh, LeBron, stop.
Yeah.
You're so nice.
Touching
wow.
is a big no-no.
Yeah, that was a bit wild. She put her head on his shoulder. And,
co-worker. It doesn't matter if she's the...
She's the boss.
I was going to, like the superior in the office or whatever that
HR
is. That's a little.
Might have some issues with
the Lakers HR.
Yeah,
Lakers. Might have some problems with LeBron.
Jeannie Buss.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
That was just weird. It was just super. It's a similar situation.
Totally similar situation.
Funny enough, Jeannie, who was it? There was about a week or so ago, she was talking to somebody else. And it was either a rapper or it wasn't LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
Oh, I can't remember, but I do remember seeing it, and it was so random.
Didn't she have a thing with Jimmy Butler one time or something? Or am I? No, something. No. Yeah, no, maybe not. I just.
Nate's being salacious.
Scandalous. TMZ Nate.
Yeah, it was recent.
I can't remember. Yeah.
It was recent.
Very, very strange. Stuff.
Yeah,
that is wild.
We got to figure this out.
Yeah.
She is from Sacramento. She's a Kings fan.
She can be a mascot.
Please come on the show.
And maybe this is exactly what the Kings need to turn this thing around, right? And to get over the hump.
Tool. Hey, yo.
Okay. All right.
Hey,
all right. It's just
crosstalk when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are here with Whitey Gleason.
Playing a little Aussie, huh?
Yeah.
Sure.
I put in that request.
Norman Cheers.
Uh-huh. Put in that request myself. Whitey, did you
he
see?
He didn't get it.
He wouldn't know the song. There's no way Alan would. This is an old song.
Yeah.
This song's called No More Tears.
No More Tears.
I did a parody years ago, Norm on Cheers. So that's the...
That's right.
How about your Sabonis song the other day? Oh, we talked about that.
That's sensational.
Yeah. It was good stuff.
What was the song you were going to pitch to him today, Chris?
Yes. I was thinking yesterday, I was watching the Oscars, and Ryan Gosling did the I'm Just Ken. And I feel like there's a chance for us to maybe make a remix of I'm Just Kev with Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
I haven't quite dove into the lyrics yet, but I feel like just the I'm just Kev, I feel like it's a decent song.
Yeah. Didn't cross my mind. I saw that last night. Yeah. Good idea.
I'm here to help.
Good idea.
Here to help.
Just going to give a shout out to the number 10 seed, Sacramento State.
That's right.
Upsetting Eastern Washington. What was that, yesterday? 2 days ago?
Stingers up.
And now they play tomorrow to see if they can, you know, sneak on in there. March Madness.
Crazy.
That's right. That's right. Good stuff going on. Joined here with Jay as well as Whitey Gleason. A lot of NFL news, everybody. I mean, obviously, we talked a bunch of Kings, but this thing did not take very long. And this is the whole tampering conversation when they say, oh, you can't talk until this time or that time. And then as soon as the clock hits, 8 deals have been made. Do we care about tampering? Is it real life at this point? Saquon to the Eagles now? Man, oh, man.
Nah, not for me. I'd say no. Yeah. Just let them talk.
Yeah.
Why not get your money on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you have to have guidelines and rules and regulations, mm-hmm. as E-40 said, but no. I mean, I'm pretty sure we've all been in an opportunity or a situation where we know something may happen, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're kind of searching or hunting for something to happen. You just have to have conversations these days.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're probably going to miss out on an opportunity, to be honest.
Jay, mm-hmm. I don't want to step on you guys' show at all, but no. I know you're a big Niners guy. Have you been put off by the quiet nature that has been the Niners so far today?
No, because I think they've had to reshuffle the deck a little bit.
Right.
Like the cards, the money, the situation.
Right. And Armstead being
And which is, you know, kudos to him being a Sacramento guy.
Absolutely.
A native, you know, he's put on for Sacramento for many moons, but there definitely there's an expiration to the milk, right? Mm-hmm. And only the greats normally spend one. We saw Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen, you know, if Joe Montana could be traded.
That's right.
Ronnie Lott, Jerry Rice. Yep. I mean, there's guys, Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. you know, guys, depending on if they do it themselves or not. But respect to Eric Armstead. I just think injuries really caught up to him.
Yeah.
Like, it really did. And Hargrave didn't have the best year. You know, we've been talking about that on this station for quite a while. And I just think the Niners are looking to go a little bit younger.
I think it's right. I mean, I feel like, you know, after last year, you can't really just run it back and expect the same results. I think they got to get better, and it'll be interesting to see where they go. I mean, yeah, they clearly have plans to clear up some money. It's just going to be interesting to see what they end up doing with that money, man, because this is still a team that looks ready to win, but you see teams like the Packers today making moves, mm-hmm. and bringing in Josh Jacobs. They signed Xavier McKinstry. Like, they are making moves. And, you know, the league's not going to stay stagnant just because the Niners are a really good team. Other teams are going to try and catch up to them.
You going to miss your guy, Kirk Cousins?
Not at that dollar figure. You know, the more and more details I see about Kirk's contract, I'm like, you know, I'd much rather have the Vikings eventually dip their toe into whatever the great beyond is than to kind of run it back with Kirk Cousins. You kind of know what you're going to get from him at this point. And 35 years old, coming off of an Achilles injury, 4 years, $45 million.
Yeah,
that's a bit pricey.
They're what, 3 years in a row they've been 7-10, and now with Kirk Cousins,
feels like it.
I guarantee you, 3 years in a row of 9-8 are coming. He's gonna take that team all the way,
new heights,
from 7 wins to 9.
That's right. Yeah, I could see it. I could see it.
You know, Whitey, you bring up a good point. Chris and I were discussing this earlier. The difference between the NFL and the NBA, and how we're talking about Mike Brown and the Kings, and okay, they didn't make the playoffs for 16 years. They turned out to be a 3 seed last season, and now all of a sudden, it kind of messed up the expectations that I think a lot of fans had for the Kings. But what's weird is that in the NBA, it feels like more Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last, and you have to always be trying to get to a championship. But in the NFL, you can be okay with just being around, right? To sign Kirk Cousins to this deal, do we think that the Falcons in their heart of hearts think that they could win a Super Bowl? In their heart of hearts, I don't know, but they do know we're going to be better. And it feels like for some reason in the NBA, you can't just be better. You have to always be trying to win the whole thing. But in the NFL, you're signing Russell. The Steelers are just refusing
They're just refusing to just start from scratch. It's just, we're just going to hang around, and as long as there's a little bit of hope, we're okay.
It's probably because fans are, you know, the NFL, it's incredible that we're talking so much about the NFL today when, as you said, March Madness, the NBA playoffs are coming, baseball starting. Yeah. But NFL free agency.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
People just want our team to be decent.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, who knows? Like in that division, could they win the division? I mean, it's not hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not likely. So, you know, fans just want, give us some Sundays that we can feel good about. You
I know? Think the piggyback on that too, fellas, is for me is, we've seen it. Green Bay won as a wild card. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure.
If you get into the playoffs with a one game off, you know, you have every opportunity. And we've seen over the last decade and change where teams sneak in. You know, the Giants have snuck in and marched their way to the Super Bowl. The one that always pops in my mind is DeSean Jackson getting that punt return. And then the Packers going in, and then they win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And so I think, you know, in a seven-game series, more times than not, the cream rises to the top, mm-hmm. and you normally can kind of decipher and sniff out, like, oh, they're not going to win the championship.
Right, right.
Even though we've seen Miami kind of do some things lately. Right. But in the NFL, it's like, man, who knows? And we just saw it this year. Look at the Packers.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, the Lions made a good run, even though they were pretty good. And so I think the Chiefs, 9-6, I believe, or something like that.
It's more realistic.
I just think that kind of plays a factor into it as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do they say? The seven-game series is really how it determines who the best team is. But the one-game playoff, which is why people love the NFL so much, anything can happen.
Surprise teams in the NFL, to Jay's point, mm-hmm. they might end up winning a division and maybe even winning a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Surprise teams in the NBA might be a six seed. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Play-in. Yeah. A play-in.
Yeah, almost. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And injuries with the NFL, you never know. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a Falcons team who, so-and-so's out. Our path is a lot easier than maybe everybody thought. And the NFC, with what we just talked about with the Niners, the NFC, after the Niners and the Eagles, that thing has been wide open anyway, to be completely honest with you. Getting into the Kings as practice, I think, just ended, and we had some sound from Coach Mike Brown and just the defense, Whitey, or lack thereof, from the three-point range and everything that they've been dealing with. Chris and I, we didn't want to be rude about this, but doesn't it seem a little elementary to continue to hear Coach Mike Brown say the same thing every single day? He's saying the same thing.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that yesterday, about five times after the game in the postgame, four or five times, he said, you know, since the All-Star break, we've had the third highest rated offense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said that. Like, oh, he kept saying it. He kept saying it, and I'm wondering, who is he talking to?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting that he made that point. Of course, yesterday, they got shut down. Jay has arranged for Jay Triano to join us today, so we'll talk to him about what's up with the Kings. Is that 3 o'clock today?
3 o'clock.
Yeah.
3 p.m.
Yeah. But, they, you know, I was talking to Jerry Reynolds about this today. The Rockets, they'll shut you down on the paint, and then they're still quick enough to get out on the perimeter.
Right.
And with the Kings, defensively, it's like, give me one or the other, and maybe, you know, they're just not capable of doing that.
Yeah, he's still continuing to say, oh, it's not our defensive personnel. He used the comparison of, if you have a kid who's not good at, did you hear this? If you have a kid who's not good at science but is good at math, you're not just going to say, you're fine. You're still going to attempt to have them be good at both. But, yeah, I just think it's...
Sounds like my daughter.
I mean, I was going to say...
Good at math, not at science.
There you go. But you still try to coach Mike Brown?
You still got to try.
Well, thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. You have the Drive Guys up next with Whitey Gleason and Jay Johnson. In for Kyle Draper. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.